Our tech attorney Rich Honan pays us a visit once again with some thoughts on headlines from the business world to help us sort this all out. We welcome Rich with the Phillips Lytle LLP, where he is partner in charge of the Albany office. Today we're going to talk about how government and corporate worlds each handle scandals, and it's always a pleasure to welcome Rich back to our microphones. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Very nice to have you here. Been a little while, so it's always nice to check in and find out what's going on. So when we talk about scandal, there's never an absence of that.
There never
is. We've never seemed to go through a lull of scandal.
Well, especially now that there's an industry in dealing with scandals, right? There's people who do,
Is that a shot at the press?
No. There actually isn't an industry. Do I need to take a shot at the press?
No. Go ahead.
But there is, there's an entire communications industry whose job is, kind of scandal. They don't call it that, but scandal management and,
sure.
And working through the news cycle. And, corporations spend a lot of money on dealing with, image issues and communication issues when they have their own scandals. And, government just has a different model, whether you want to call it scandal or controversy, I guess.
Isn't it? You found me out, Rich.
It's okay.
When you think about
it's 12 million listeners not knowing what everybody's laughing
now. I know. There's a monitor on, and something came on the monitor, and my attention became momentarily diverted. I apologize.
But being the professionals we are,
we're forging ahead. But I guess what it is of how we define scandal in the sense of. I think with government officials, it's a little more cut and dry.
Not always though. I think that's always the first step. And government and corporations, because one of the things we always look at on this show is, how does government do things? How does business do things? How do real people do things? And this is one thing where government and corporations both start the inquiry the same way. And the first and at some level, the issue is this really a problem? Is this really a problem? Do I really need to even speak to this? That's a tenet of corporate management.
And that could take a day, or that could take a week, or that could take an hour, or 10 minutes.
Exactly.
If you are in Congressman Wiener's office,
right,
and this breaks, you don't have much time.
Yeah, except that right away that you would know right away that, okay, this could be a problem. This is this is something that should be addressed. Whereas, if you're in the White House, there's 1,000 issues that come by you, every hour. And you do we need a statement on this? Do we need a response to this? Do we need to call a press conference on this? Do we need to issue something?
And a lot of times, let's see what sticks.
Right.
What's going to hit, and what isn't.
Right. And I think in the business world, we really have much more leeway because we're not so quickly asked for a response to every issue, right? Unless you're running GE and there's breaking news about something happening at GE, you don't necessarily need to respond to everything that comes across the airwaves. But when there are issues, you have to first decide to what level are we going to give this credibility? To what level are we going to address this? And then most fundamentally, is this good for business? Is this bad for business? Do we need to deal with it? The government response is usually, wasn't our fault, not a big deal. It was somebody else's fault, we're going to handle it a different way. The business response is usually, if it rises to the level where it really needs a response, it's usually, you go back to your phrase, much more cut and dried. First question is, all right, who's getting fired? How high is it going to be? And are we going to pay people money or are we just going to issue a statement?
So let me throw out two examples, one corporate, one not corporate.
Right.
One example is Chick-fil-A. So Chick-fil-A is a prominent, not in this market, but as a prominent fast food chain, and I used to be a fan, and then the CEO makes some outrageous comments about homosexuals and about gay marriage specifically.
Right.
There's a huge backlash. They then pretty much fight it. In the sense of not backing off, they go and they hold rallies and so forth at some of the stores, and it becomes very politicized. And then I can only assume, that then they back off. Like
right.
2-3 weeks later, they say, okay, we're going to stop that. And you can only, I interpreted that is, okay, because it does exactly what you mentioned, it affects the bottom line.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and that was, but remember, they made that analysis when he first made the statement, and the only thing that we could glean from this is that analysis might have changed. But the first analysis was: is this going to hurt sales? Is this going to hurt us?
Yeah.
Is it going to hurt us with our unions? excuse me, our vendors, our suppliers, or our customers? And obviously, someone came to the conclusion that not only is this not going to hurt us, but I don't know, based on our demographics, somebody, and I'm not saying this, but somebody, it sounds like somebody came to the conclusion that this is not going to hurt us with our demographic. The other one like that is, and I can't recall her name, but the country singer who did
Natalie Maines.
Yeah.
Of the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, no, I was no, the more recent one who came out as gay. And there was a
Oh yeah, okay. I know who you're talking about.
Right, there was a documentary on it, and a lot of it was. You know, she said, "Listen, I'm, you know, putting you know civil rights aside. You know, I'm a brand, I'm a product, and I'm the demographics of the people using my product are going to have different responses to this announcement. And so, but the it starts in many ways. It starts at the bottom line." And I think in your example, the bottom line, originally they didn't think it would be hurt so badly.
So not to parse this too much, but is that a scandal? For a business, is that a scandal?
That's a scandal.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
When
you don't want to be on the front page of the newspaper and you are, that's a scandal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's a scandal. And the other part of that, and here's where I think, here's the other analysis that goes into it at the corporate level, and I kind of wish it happened more at the governmental level. I think in the Chick-fil-A, it's interesting how they came out in the Chick-fil-A example. But the other analysis that really takes place, I know you don't believe this, at the corporate level is, all right, bottom line aside, what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing? Now, you might say, well, okay, that's going to lead to, you know, if we do the right thing, or go the other way. If we do the wrong thing, we're going to end up losing money besides everything else.
Right.
Right. But, you know.
Well, maybe if you're making chicken sandwiches for a living, you don't have to weigh in on that particular issue.
No, it's true. But this, you can guess kind of exactly how this conversation went. If he went now, and no one's agreeing with this, no one's disagreeing. I'm saying he made a statement that many of us do disagree with. And what he probably injected into the analysis when he was talking to his board, and you can bet there was a board meeting and everything, said, well, I feel that my statement was correct and the right thing to say. And many, many of us, feel that it was not the right thing to say. But at the corporate level, you see that injected into the scandal analysis much more than at the governmental level.
And the other example I wanted to give, which I think is fresh and certainly along the same lines, unfortunately, which is that of the Boy Scouts. So, okay, the Boy Scouts is a scouting organization, and they do a lot of great things, and we certainly understand that. But let us also point out that the Boy Scouts is a business as well. I mean, it is an organization. They have stores and malls. They have uniforms. They have things. There is commerce from this.
Right.
So they're also, to me, of a scandal like that. It just went on. It seemed the whole thing to be just to be very public. And I don't know that that's a bad idea, but they were sending out the questionnaires, and then they said, well, we are going to do this, and then we're not going to do this, and then we're going to go back, and then we finally have made a decision. We'll announce it on Friday. I mean, next Thursday. I mean, 2 months right. from now, and now we're going to announce the decision, and the decision is we will allow young, we will allow gay scouts, but we won't allow scout masters who are gay. And you think to yourself, wow, they couldn't have screwed this up more if they tried.
Right. And especially when you know that they were doing some level of corporate soul searching. I mean, you know that during part of that, there are people wrestling over what's the right thing in our minds morally. What's the right thing for the scouts? What's the right thing for what we should be doing? And yeah, and it doesn't always come out right. Yeah. On the other side of that is also, you know, the Komen Foundation, right? The Race for the Cure with the tussle they got into with Planned Parenthood. You know, it's funny, when you bring up corporate scandals, they're much more on social issues. When I think of a corporate scandal and how it was, I think of Jamie Dimon and the $6.2 billion loss that J.P. Morgan sustained.
Yes.
And which to me, to us in the Wall Street Journal world, you know, that dwarfed other corporate scandals, because in the middle of this, Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, is really on the soapbox protesting against the Volcker rule, the one that said he was saying banks should be able to invest their own money, and because we know how to do it, and you shouldn't put any restrictions on that, and we're professionals. And then right in the middle of that, they get this $6 billion loss, and he, you know, but they handled it in a very corporate way.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, but what all of these have is a level of hypocrisy, right? I mean, isn't that what sort of it all comes down to, of how it becomes interesting to us?
Well, I'll give J.P. Morgan a little bit of credit here, because I think to their credit, that you know, they came right and they followed the crisis management kind of handbook, right? The first thing was that Dimon stood up and he said, "Yeah, this was bad. We made a really big mistake."
Right.
All right. A very high level person got fired, and a person who was very close to him, it got fired. He took, you and I could argue about it. He took a 50% pay cut in his bonus. Now, I know you're saying, "All right, good. You went from 23 million to 11.5 million," and testified before Congress and was looked at by the SEC. But I think that's kind of the more corporate way of dealing with it. The hypocrisy was, I don't know if I see the hypocrisy there. I think he stood up and said, "Look, I know we made a really big mistake, but I still..."
Yeah, but the mistake was
what?
Hypocrisy, right? I mean, because you're saying one thing and you're doing another.
No, he was. I think what he was saying, look, you know, this is $6 billion out of our, you know, $300 billion balance sheet. And yes, we do make some mistakes, but generally, you know, this is the right thing to do. Like one of the more current governmental scandals, with the, you know, the listening in, the NSA listening in on, you know, well, hopefully on us right now, but and other times as well. And you have you call it hypocrisy. I call it like an inconsistency, where you say, all right, so this doesn't sound good, but in a larger way, you know, President Obama is trying to say we need to be listening in.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we should have told you,
right.
You know, but
I meant a lot of the scandals where, you know, you have the Southern senator who says that, you know, that we're going to, you know.
Well, Elliot Spitzer,
Right. Yeah, you know, this is what I believe. I have a moral code.
Yeah.
I live by the Bible. I do this. And then, you know, I have 4 illegitimate children and I have, you know, and I have a mistress in Argentina.
Sure.
So,
right. But those are also fairly easy to deal with, right? I mean, there's still a crisis management book for that. They make amends. They get out of public life for, you know, several news cycles, and they come back and run for office.
What about, so we've been talking about the different, I mean, we started off with the, in the tease and all of this, about how government and corporate worlds each handle scandals. So when you look at the government world, I do think it's interesting, because you mentioned this when you mentioned J.P. Morgan, there was a congressional hearing. That seems to be sort of our public flogging, right? Where no matter what happens, we have a congressional hearing, we bring people in, we talk about it, whether it be NSA, whether it be IRS,
right.
we have have Benghazi, we have these then public hearings, and that's sort of, we find out more information, and that's sometimes where the determination is made of whether it's going to stick or not.
Well, I think from a crisis management standpoint, you know that's coming, so you know how to position yourself. And the example I would give was, you know, Apple not paying taxes,
yeah.
right? And they haul in Tim Cook, and what does he do? Yeah, he comes in and he says to Congress, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says, look, you guys make the laws, okay? If you make a law that says I don't have to pay taxes, I'm not going to tell my shareholders we should be paying taxes. That would be crazy. And he kind of, you know, turned it back on them. So, yeah, you have the public flogging, but you, since you know that's coming, you have the opportunity to turn that around. But I think, you know, the governmental response is pretty much, you know, deny till you die. Right. Wasn't us. Wasn't me. Didn't know. Not wrong. That's it. And then you wait for the next scandal to break and the next item in the news cycle.
And also, ultimately, you have the election cycle. Right. But that's,
you know, it's 4 years or 2 years. And, you know, by then that's a million.
Well, some would argue you're always running.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying by the time, you know, that's a million scandals away, right? Yeah, you know, and so, but you know, I don't know that corporations can. The corporations are sometimes, I think I'm going to say this, are sometimes under more scrutiny, more direct scrutiny, both internally and externally. You know, you have, you know, especially when you're dealing with governmental at the highest level, at the White House level. You know, any second term president, whether it's Bush or whether it's Obama, you know, that whole, you know, everybody notes that, you know, the bunker mentality. Has really set in by the second term. You're just hunkered down, and you don't admit anything. You know, whereas corporations, you have your board of directors, you have, you know, the Wall Street Journal, you have you know, grassroots groups agitating. You know, you can't ignore things quite as much. It's interesting to think that you know, the president of the United States could ignore more things than the CEO of GE. But I think I could make that argument pretty persuasively.
Rich Honan is a partner in Phillips Lytle LLP, where he's the partner in charge of the Albany office. For more information about the firm and about Rich, you can visit their website, PhillipsLytle.com. PhillipsLytle.com. Rich, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you
very
much. My
pleasure. Good to see you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.